time to talk about Astralis. I love talking about Astralis. I've been talking about Astralis since they were born, since they were invented, since they were a concept, since the great Nicola Nyholm came into the esports scene like that dude at the start of Prometheus, just crumbling apart and being part of everything, because indeed he was. Remember, he wanted to start a player union. He wanted to start multiple organizations where he would have the players as figureheads and owners, co-owners. He wanted to have a media rights group. And of course, he ended up founding Blast as well. In many ways, no matter what you think of Nicola Nyholm, his contribution to the Counter-Strike space is indelible. We've got an entire tournament organizer because of him. We got a now, sadly, largely defunct brand, but the greatest team of all time came out from Nicola Nyholm's efforts. Now, was Nicola Nyholm duplicitous? Yeah, of course, he's a businessman. Was Nicola Nyholm self-interested? Yes, of course, he's a businessman. Was Nicola Nyholm not very good at playing the social media game? Yes, Nicola Nyholm's Danish. See what I did there? So it's not that me and Nicola Nyholm are best buddies or all that, but you know what? In real life, we've actually had a beer. And as the monsters and the beasts that I have to do battle with in esports have leveled up from lying team owners to the Saudi Arabian state, I look back at Nicola Nyholm and I go, you know what? It weren't that bad. He did tell some lies. He did try and get around some rules. He did engage in some conflict of interests. But you know what? Much like people that fought in the Great War, it's over now. Armistice is here. We can all shake hands and look back on the good times. And ultimately, he is not the individual responsible for the vast amount of Astralis' incompetence. That are indeed a lot of people he put trust in and appointed. Maybe you can lay the blame on his doorstep, but let's not forget, Nicola Nyholm went to go and be in the Danish Dragon's Den. He was on TV, he was doing all of that stuff. And so he took his eye off the ball a little bit. He entrusted Astralis to other people, and guess fucking what? They betrayed that trust, made a bunch of terrible decisions, and Astralis has been tumbling down the fucking toilet ever since. But there was a rare glimmer of hope that we reported over on my Substack Arena. By the way, if you're new and you're tuning in, you don't subscribe to the Substack, you can subscribe for free and you will get all of the free news. I'll never put anything report-worthy behind a paywall. But if you want the editorial stuff and all the podcasts I do over there, again, it's the price of essentially a Twitch or a YouTube sub. You get a ton of content. It's definitely worth it. But here it was. This was Astralis. They were up for sale, if you remember, because they were in financial dire straits. And it looked like they'd finally found the right kind of ownership to take them in the right direction. This chap here, people said, Richard, why did you put an AI photo in this article? That is just Jakob Lund Christensen. That's just what he looks like. He's a guy I have known as well for a long, long time. This is the guy that founded Copenhagen Wolves. Copenhagen Wolves, if you know anything about esports, before Astralis, they were the biggest contributors to esports from Denmark. Remember, Denmark, it's a tiny little country, isn't it? It's a tiny little country that thinks it can hold on to Greenland. Kidding. Relax. This is about esports. It's a tiny little country, isn't it? So it doesn't have a big population. And yet, it has produced so many great people and great esports personalities and great esports talent. And Copenhagen Wolves were the original incubator for that. And I'm talking about, it wasn't just Danish players. You know, you look at all the people that came through the ranks at Copenhagen Wolves and went on to have careers that were bigger than them. Copenhagen Wolves essentially funded itself by finding talent, developing talent, and then selling talent. And that's going to be relevant to later on. That's going to be relevant to here. And indeed, people are pulling out the big names. They discovered Bjergsen. They gave Device his first ever contract. In Hearthstone, they gave Firebat his start. And, you know, I know not a lot of you are competitive Hearthstone people. I see Slasher in the chat. He knows who that is. And it was Copenhagen Wolves that did it. So anyway, Jakob Lund Christensen was on the board of Astralis. He was one of the co-founders of Astralis. He was the esports expert Nicola Nyholm essentially worked with. And so he knows more than anyone about the problems of Astralis and everything that's going on there behind the scenes. And anyway, who did he pair up with? Well, he created a company called Fusion, and the owners of Fusion being JLK Holdings, his company. And Fusion are also with Jonas Kalk Gundersen, I believe, who I like a lot less and think is a bit of a clown. He's the guy from NIP. He was NIP's COO. And obviously, NIP is another busted brand that got run into the ground by serial mismanagement and, in a lot of other areas, sinister, shady shit done to the players. Another report I did was Jonas Gundersen was the guy that was trying to justify. Remember when the major got cancelled because of COVID, but we'd already put the capsule out? He was the guy saying, yo, the stickers belong to us, not the players, and Valve said so. And Valve were like, we would never say that. It's up to you guys. But anyway, since Jonas Gundersen has given up championing women's rights on Twitter, which was his major pastime, he decided he is going to go out there into the Middle East and rustle up some money. Many such cases, right, going on right now. And he rustled up some money from the Qataris. And I think he's got a fucking office in Doha or whatever, you know. Ultimately, the thought process was some of that Qatari money would that Jonas Gundersen has access to would funnel its way via Fusion into Astralis. We would have another oil magnate run esports organization, and the world would keep turning and esports would keep getting worse. But if you're an Astralis fan, room for optimism, right? You've got a guy, proven track record of building teams, developing talent. You've got a guy who knows how to unlock Middle Eastern money. They're working together on a busted brand who are at absolute rock bottom. And so what has to happen first? Well, they got to do a hard reset. Let's recall, they had to really tinker around just to get a team going. You remember they brought Hooksy in for Astana as an IGL, and Hooksy said, I don't even have a contract. Then they brought in Magisk because Staun wanted to go to the bench. And it was like, it's kind of rough. Magisk might be a little bit over the hill, and he's certainly not a star player. And so anyway, whatever. They went to the major. They finally got back to a major, which was a big deal because they hadn't been in one in like 4 attempts. And the worst thing that can happen while you're at a major happened while they were at a major. Salary crisis, always a good phrase. Salary crisis hits Astralis hours before their major decider, with both staff and players unpaid. And even though it shows a photo of Device, aka Tom Cruise, smiling there, you can guarantee he is not smiling. According to Extra Bledit, multiple Astralis staff members in the Counter-Strike roster competing at the CS2 major in Budapest were expecting their monthly salary on December 1st, but payments never arrived. Employees were reportedly only informed of the delay on the day they were supposed to be paid. Jonas Gundersen described the timing as far from ideal and said the organization expects salaries to be processed within roughly 2 weeks. Astralis plans to add a 10% compensation bonus once the payments are made. Astralis was acquired 2 months ago by Fusion Esports Group, which now owns the organization in full. In his statement to Extra Bladet, Gundersen attributed the missing payments to complications. It's complicated to get your bank details and put money in your bank. Complications that arose during the takeover, saying the new ownership inherited challenges from the previous structure. He did not provide further details. This would immediately, of course, set off, you know, alarm bells ringing and set off all the red flags that you've got this new ownership. And there was a lot of speculation about, do they have the money? Astralis were in a financial crisis and they were looking to offload to anyone for cheap. At the very end, it just wasn't worth it. There was 2 options on the table. Sell to anybody that had any type of serious offer, or they were going to shutter the organization temporarily and hope someone in the future of esports decided they were going to buy a brand. How do I know all of this? I wrote about this. I wrote about, I did an expose on everything that was going on behind the scenes at Astralis during the time of the sale. Now, the one thing we didn't know about Fusion was, where's the fucking money? Where's your money? Because we're making a lot of assumptions about it being this Qatari slush fund, but there's no guarantees. We didn't know for sure, and so as a result, this optically is terrible. It is terrible. And of course, the players went and they crashed out of the major, and that's that. Astralis, even though they were back at the major, they didn't go very far, didn't give a good account of themselves, and everyone was like, well, what happens next? So what indeed happens next? Well, the team immediately falls apart. Keep in mind, Staun, a player they bought for $1 million, was already on the bench. This is it. This is the guy. Dever. The iconic AWPer. Now, look, let's also be clear, because we keep it real on this channel. Device had had some health problems, which have been a persistent thorn in his side. I am one of those people who, you know, when people go, Richard, there's one thing you should never speculate about. Oh, okay, yeah. What are the rules? You should never speculate about someone's health. Oh, okay. Right. Anyway, I'm one of the people who don't believe that. And I've speculated about his health. And I speculated about the health of Astralis players back when it was widely known behind the scenes that the whole burnout thing was used ultimately to get themselves new contracts, or to get themselves out of existing contracts, or to get a fucking holiday, which I believe they were entitled to. I don't give a fuck. You go and get a doctor's note to get out of work because your fucking employer's being an asshole. That's fair game. I've done it many a time in the real world. So, of course, it can happen in esports. That's all good. I've said about Device, he definitely has a stomach condition. There's no disputing that. And stress definitely exacerbates stomach conditions. I myself have suffered in the past from an ulcer. I'm on medication for that. I know that when I get stressed or stop taking care of myself, which, as you can see from my haggard demeanor, is often, right? I only discovered moisturizer 2 years ago. The reality is, it's bad. It makes you sick, and it makes it worse. And you can be vomiting, and your arsehole can want a piece of the action if you're vomiting a lot, and you're not digesting food, and you're not digesting nutrients. Then you can't even rest properly or recuperate properly, because how you energize yourself when you're sick is you get nutrients from food, because your body's in overdrive using them to in this, you know, heightened state to fight off the whatever is wrong with you. And so I have seen Device in some states. I have seen Device like not looking very well at events, and you know, we were told not to bring it up at the event itself, but he definitely, in the middle of a game, he had to run off stage and by all accounts to be sick. And so my heart goes out to him for that. It's not a very good thing to have to deal with. But I've also always maintained that knowing that I have that condition, knowing that stress exacerbates that condition, working with Astralis is just a headache from start to finish. And they've treated Device pretty poorly, I think, overall, especially since the return. Would I risk being ill for Astralis, an organization that has done realistically so little for me down the years? And the answer is no, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't do it. And so I'm not saying he's faking it. Obviously, I would never say that, because I know he is ill. But what I am saying is, if you've got a condition that is exacerbated and triggered by certain things, why would I go and do those certain things for someone that doesn't respect me? And I wouldn't. And so I think a lot of the, oh, Device is too ill to play, he should retire because you never know if he's going to miss another big tournament again. I say let's give him a chance at his new team, which we'll talk about in a second, before we judge. Because I have a suspicion it might not happen again. He might be willing to go the extra mile for an organization that treats him right. And by going the extra mile, I mean essentially playing hurt, you know? But anyway, this was the announcement. Device was gone. Astralis makes changes and signals a new international direction. And what I love about this, by the way, is it's all Device in the thank you. It's not just Device that's leaving. It's like, look, we want to offer the biggest thank you to Nikolai Device Reitst and Emil Magis Greif. Could you at least put him in the picture? Could you at least put Magis? Could you just put him in, like, just a little one, like, next to him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, just sat on Device's shoulder or something. That would have been all right. Nah, it's fuck you. Thanks for coming back and standing in for Stown. But you're not even getting a graphic. Sound, cheers. And then we don't pay you as well. Anyway, here it is. Their replacements may potentially be recruited from the international scene. Now, when I heard that, I was like, well, holy shit. Isn't that crazy? Astralis, that one at one time essentially put Danish Counter-Strike on the map and had the pick of Danish talent and could have developed Danish talent. What they instead did was, as they tried desperately to get the last ring, the last juice out of the Golden Five that they had. Apparently, you're not allowed to use that term about Astralis because it does belong to the Poles, but you get my meaning. They kept bringing in young players, giving them no time to develop, and then cutting the young players. I mean, there should be like, it's like the fucking Bone Temple. You know what I mean? I'm like fucking Rife Vines just walking around, and it's just like, here lies Buzz, here lies Lucky. Ah, we must remember them. We must pay tribute to all of the young Danish talent here to prop up Astralis. Complete ridiculous fucking, you know, what they did. And ultimately, bad Astralis is as responsible for the death of Danish Counter-Strike as any other factor in the world. Yeah, Bubsky, there's another one in the chat. Anyway, going international, to me, essentially, you know, says like, oh, okay, well, there's just nothing left in Denmark. So I was kind of excited. I was like, wow, okay. Qatari money, potentially. International lineup. Out with the old, in with the new. Oh, okay, all right. You know, there's been many organisations that have done this. I mean, look, it's no secret, I'm not a fan of the NIP organisation. I really like that NIP team, and I like what they're trying to do. So anyway, Jonas Gunderson, CEO, said, come on, guys, it's 2026. We can do better than this. Why aren't there more women in this announcement? If you know, you know. Now, what he really said was, our agreement with Emil expires on December 31st, and I would like to thank him for stepping in when we needed it. At the same time, we have reached an agreement with Nikolai on a transfer at the turn of the year, which opens up new opportunities, both for him and for the team. Both players are true legends, correct, and each of them holds a very special position within the organisation and among all Astralis fans, also correct. We have long known that Emil would be moving on, and we have also been prepared for Nikolai's transition, phrasing, as we have had a good and open dialogue with him about the possibilities. Both he and we need new energy and new goals, and although it has been a difficult decision for both parties, the timing is right. Okay, excellent. Right, we're all agreed there. We have big ambitions for Astralis, and we need to revitalise the team. Astralis is Danish, with a Danish core and a clear identity. All right, okay. This support we experience all across the country means an incredible amount to us, and we will continue to be the team that brings Danes together. I do remember watching a drunk Danish Astralis fan have a fist fight with another Danish fan at the Copenhagen Major, where Astralis weren't present. Good times, bringing Danes together. At the same time, we have a responsibility towards our fans, partners, and everyone who is part of the Astralis family, regardless of where they come from. We must always strive to become the best version of ourselves and continuously work towards reaching higher. Therefore, we are not limiting ourselves to a single market when recruiting new players. We are in a phase where we will continue to build through 2026, and our primary focus will be on quality and the overall direction of new additions. This is a new and exciting time for Astralis, and something we will share much more about later. Right now, however, it is about saying a proper goodbye and hopefully see you again. Don't know. That's like what you say when someone's died. I have immense respect for both Nikolai and Emil, who have both given their all to Astralis. They deserve all our deepest gratitude and love. And even though it is not the first time we part ways, it is a special day for all. They will always be a part of Astralis, and they will always be welcome back. They both deserve the utmost respect, the biggest thank you, and the very best of luck with their next challenges. Then Device does a statement. Leaving Astralis once again has not been an easy decision. For some time now, I've been hungry to try something new, and I'm very much looking forward to starting the next chapter. I'm leaving Astralis on good terms, just like last time, and I wish the guys all the best in the new year. I would like to say a huge thank you to all the fans who have followed the journey since it all began back in 2016, and to everyone in the organization. You all hold a very special place in my heart. And just like that, Deva was gone. Now, I've got a little bit of a conspiracy theory that I just want to put out there, and because I haven't heard anyone talk about it. You know, I've been, because I haven't been creating a lot of content lately, I've had a lot of free time, and I've been sat listening to all the podcasts, right? You know, the Hot Take Point Made and the Counter Point and the fucking all of it. Too many Feed the Trolls. There's just a million CS podcasts. I've been listening to all of them, and anyway, I've been thinking to myself, like, why has no one brought this up? Do you remember when Deva left Astralis for the first time? What team did he join? He joined NiP. And Jonas Gunderson, quite famously, is from NiP. And Jonas Gunderson was there when Device joined. And if you remember, Device joined NIP. There was all this stuff behind the scenes about, you know, personal issues. And then he went, he didn't play for NiP. And then there was that thing where he was on sick leave. And I reported this. Device wanted to come back and play for NiP, but NiP didn't want to play him because under Swedish law, they could have the majority of his salary paid by the government as long as he was deemed too sick to play. Because they were a proper Swedish company. And ultimately, the NiP fans gave Deva a lot of shit, and he went back to Astralis. Now, I am not saying that Kalk Jonas Gunderson held a grudge about all of that and immediately was like, look, if I'm coming to fund Astralis, I ain't working with that Deva cunt. I'm not saying that. But it is weird that no one's made that connection and talked about it, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just planting seeds. If anyone wants to dig into that or do a thought exercise. I'm just saying, allegedly, there could be a connection there, allegedly. Anyway, back to this. So Device goes, and I'm not going to talk too much about him joining 100 Thieves. We'll save that for the Roster Mania rundown. So away he goes. Device, Majisk, they're gone. And you're like, well, okay, this sounds exciting. International lineups, right? Everyone's talking about, you know, fucking who they're going to get next. And because we're in the Roster Mania part of the season, there's non-stop reporting about who's going to sign who and all of the rumours and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, you know, listen, there's a lot of good AWPers available right now. A lot of good young AWPers I think people could pick up. We still got just Dexter waiting in the wings. Somebody's got to give him a try at some point, right? So maybe an Astralis international lineup could do that. And then I was, like, looking at the reports that were coming through, and is that how you do that emoji? That Astralis set to sign Fozzy. Astralis is expected to unveil the announcement of Love. His name is probably not pronounced just Love like that, like L-U-V, but whatever. Love, Fozzy, Smide brand. I mean, that sounds like a fucking J.K. Rowling character, doesn't it? Love Smide Brandt of House Gryffindor. But anyway, Fozzy is the guy that they were linked with. And the Swede departed 9-9 after the organisation revealed an unnamed team had triggered a buyout clause. The 23-year-old Swede endured a rocky 2025 that was marred by several haphazard roster changes in Wildcard. And indeed, if you remember, there was that whole mess over at Wildcard with the arguments with the owners and the team imploding and the ChatGPT. Just a fucking shit show. Again, I wish Dust was here. He would fucking tell you all about that. He's got some opinions on that one. But anyway, you can see he played there between July 2024, June 2025, 10 to 2 majors, and had an average 1.13 rating over 167 maps. He was the team's highest rated player when he was taken by surprise and benched during the summer tournament break. Fozzie's relationship with Wildcard soured further when his loan to 9-9 was cancelled only after a month, despite the latter organisation trying to extend the deal, but his move to the Swedish organisation was made permanent after Wildcard benched its roster in November. He played only three events with 9-9 upon his return, and will make his debut for Astralis in the first Blast Bounty event of the year. The online portion of the event running from January 12th to the 17th, leaving Astralis little time to confirm the final piece of the roster. And you can see here, this is what the roster looked like at the moment. We've got Stare with all of the pressure to be the star player. We got Hooksy, he's just staying on as the IGL, so I'm guessing he has earned a contract of sorts. We've got Yabby, right? And we've got Fozzie. And so obviously at this point, everyone thinks, well, you just bring Stown back off the bench. And then you've got a slightly worse Astralis potentially. But still, you know, an Astralis. You would have a team. Okay, well, I don't love it because, listen, 1.13 rating over 167 maps sounds good. And then you dig into the opponents. And if you start actually picking apart and looking at how many times he's played like elite level competition and blah, 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 it's actually not all of that good. But he's 23. And then you go, well, 23, there's some fucking cracked 18-year-old out there, right? Like that could fucking probably do just as well. And So you have all the same conversation you have. Ultimately, I think for me personally, especially given you're replacing Device, it's a little bit underwhelming, is what I would say. But then, this happened. What? Sources. Astralis reached deal with Ryu. And I was like, the coach? Is he coming back? He's my old friend from the inaugural episode of the Richard Lewis show. Is he coming back? Is the coach coming back? And then it was like, you know, maybe they're replacing Rugger. No. He's a player, apparently. And he's a player from Monty. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I LARP as an esports expert from time to time. Not going to lie. Didn't really know much about this dude. And then this was the report here. By note, also in the chat, good to see all the celebs in today. Monty Starr. That's Gittis, not Gyatis. But no one says Gyat anymore. You notice how Gyat's gone? Another one of those Zoomer words. I actually liked Gyat. I wanted Gyat to stick around. Gyat was okay with me. You could have literally kept Gyat. So there's a ton of other, you know, crash out, no cap. I didn't like any of that. But Gyat was fine. You could have... We could have all kept Gyat, and I would have been very happy about it. But yeah, we don't even talk about the number meme. You know, we got rid of Gyat. The Gyatacost continues. The word has just been erased. Anyway, Monty Starr, Gittis Lithuanians are having a bubble, aren't they? Glue sausage. I'm not doing it, boys. Like, that's fucking mental. Right, Monty Starr, Gittis Ryu Glue Sausage is close to joining Astralis as the Danish organization seeks a rifler to finalize its roster after signing Swedish Orpa Fozzie. Astralis have already agreed to personal terms with Ryu and are now negotiating with Monty to secure the player before his contract ends on March 1st. Ryu has been with Monty since November 2023. When he joined the organization's academy team, he had a breakout year in 2025 after being promoted to the main team a second time, averaging, stop me if you've heard this one before, a 1.13 rating in all competitions. The 21-year-old featured in our latest prospect report at number 22, a six-place jump from his previous appearance. Astralis are in a race against time to finalize their roster as they are slated to compete in the first big tournament of the season, Blast Bounty, which kicks in on January 12th. Then, just to add this, because he's a friend of the stream and has even been on the No Majors Club, if memory serves me correct, we have Mighty Max from Endpoint might be brought in as an assistant coach, which, by the way, fully support that. Support that. Jobs for the boys. Excellent. Love that. So, what does this mean? What does it all mean? Well, it means that Astralis are really going to fucking roll the dice on two players that, for me, You can maybe say this is harsh to say about Fosie, but I think they're unproven at the highest level. And Astralis are min-maxing or attempting to min-max. These guys are not getting big contracts. Let's also be clear about that. Fosie is not getting device money. Ryu, I don't know what kind of money he's getting. But that means they've got their five. Because in what might be the saddest end to a career ever, Stown is just gone. He's just out. This was the Astralis announcement, right? And I want to make it clear, as someone that broke all of the story and everything that was going on behind the scenes, Stown was a $1 million player. Him and Yabby cost $1 million each. They were so adamant to get to Astralis, to get away from Cadian, and then they had to play under Cadian again in a hilarious turn of events. They were so desperate to get away from Heroic that they did some insane fuckery to manufacture the move. And I covered it in my report, which Stown had a little bit of a deny and said, "Don't believe everything you read." Yeah, I've been hearing that one for 20 fucking years plus, mate. And then it turns out, if I write it, you do fucking believe it. But anyway, he told the coach and the org and everyone at Heroic, "Look, get rid of Cadian, cut Cadian. I'll be the IGL if you need. I'll even AWP if you need. I'll do it all. I'll write the theme tune, sing the fucking theme tune. Just get rid of Cadian." And then they get rid of Cadian and he goes, "I want to leave. I'm still sad. I still want to go to Astralis." So Astralis swoop in. What's all this? A sad Danish player playing for our rivals, Heroic? Well, we'd be more than happy to take him off your hands. And Heroic went, "Fine, asshole tax. Good to see you again, Astralis. Here's the fucking asshole tax. $2 million for the pair." We don't even care. You can be 1.8 for Stown, 200k for Yabby, vice versa. We don't give a fuck. And so that's what they did. And then Stown might have been the most underwhelming star player acquisition probably since Snacks went to Mouse Sports. It's a deep pull, but it did happen. Look it up. And that was 300,000. That was a lot of money back then. For me, Stown was a paper fucking tiger. Oh, he would top frag and type shit in all chat when he was destroying checked notes big. But what did he do overall in the big games? Well, I mean, like, his overall rating for Astralis was like 1.06 anyway. And that was, you know, kind of nebulous when he played against top opposition. He didn't really do anything. And ultimately, Jabby, I think, has had a much more fruitful career with Astralis, been much more impactful and lived up to the reputation in a way that Stown never did. Now, Stown obviously has had some shit going on in his real life. And I totally sympathize with that. It's hard to keep your eye on the ball when you've got real life stuff going on. My heart goes out to him about that stuff. This is purely just from a performance perspective. But ultimately, it wasn't working at Astralis. And probably he goes down. I mean, it's not even a debate. He is, in the CS2 era, he is the worst signing. Plenty of time for that to change. We're only 2 years in. But for now, the worst signing in CS2 history, esports, Stown. It's not even close. So Astralis announced he was out. Over the past few months, Martin has taken some well-deserved time away from competition. In that period, we've had open and respectful conversations and together agreed that the best way forward is to allow Martin the space to focus fully on his return at his own pace while we continue on our current trajectory. Martin is not only a fantastic player in person, but has been a true professional and a pleasure to work with throughout his time at Astralis. We're deeply grateful for everything he has contributed to the team and we'll be cheering him on as and when he takes his next steps on and off the server. And because it's Stown, obviously he put out a statement. He might have had an AI write it. You never know. Life goes up and down for everyone. It certainly does, mate. As all know, I've had some turbulent years, both professionally and personally, since 2021. I lost my beloved eldest brother, resulting in a loss that never goes away. And obviously, as I said, heart totally goes out to him about that stuff. In the mix of trying to honour him and distancing myself from the pain, I crawl deep into the server in a time that's perhaps better spent completely off it. Stown, the Counter-Strike player, had a ton of success in the following years, but I now realise it was at the expense of taking care of myself. Finally, in August last year, I found the courage to stand up for myself and take a pause to heal. It was a hard decision to step down from the game I love and to leave my teammates in a suboptimal situation. With professional therapy and patience, I now feel more grounded than before, and I'm ready to strive for greatness. Thanks to everyone around me for supporting me through this difficult time, including Astralis and my teammates who have shown me endless love and patience during my recovery. Astralis has kindly fulfilled my wish to release me now so I can start fresh with a new project. I'll be returning to the server soon. A stronger Martin, a stronger Stown. And then he puts his name. So, you know, great. I'm all about that, by the way. Speaking about someone who's gone on his own mental health journey and been able to get rid of lots of the demons to the point where even after having such a lousy 2025 and losing so many people in a single year, I managed to relatively keep it together. Yes, it was at the expense of content. Yes, it was the expense of work. It was at the expense of making money. But ultimately, I got through relatively unscathed, quite surprisingly. And that's because of, you know, doing work and creating coping mechanisms for myself. Do recommend it. And obviously, for Stown, taking him at his word in this statement, I'm very glad he got there. But I will also say his return is going to be heavily scrutinized because of how his time in Astralis ended and ultimately how his time in Astralis was a flop. I mean, you know, again, I'm not going to pick on him based on the statement. He said he had a lot of success. I guess we all measure that differently because Astralis, the team with him on it, didn't have any success. It had no success. It had retro, whatever the inverse of success is. It degraded. So it was, you know, one of those things where ultimately his next move now is very important. I don't know where he's going to end up. I think it would be hilarious if he went to OG and had to play with Cadian again. Maybe he can aim for something a little bit further up the trough. We will see. But ultimately, I think I'm very surprised to see Astralis clean house this much and to have this lack of continuity in the Astralis brand and ultimately to put a lot of faith in Hooksie now being given all of these new pieces, younger pieces, and being told, go build me something. And so just to wrap up the Astralis chat, today we announced the two new players to the team, Fozzy and Ryu. And there they are, barrel-chested. So we're doing it. We are doing international roster Astralis. Now I will add, clearly they told them, you've got to at least look Danish. And that's why they're sticking their necks out as long as they can, even the big fella, which is fair enough. But I am going to reserve judgment, I think is the best way to put it. I think that's the kindest way to put it. It's going to be an interesting experiment for them. I genuinely think it's going to be a struggle to bed these guys in. But I also agree Astralis did have to make some drastic changes. Sometimes when there is rot within a tree, the only thing you can do is cut all the fucking branches off, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, Astralis had been in that weird funk of like, we don't want to get rid of Device, but 2025 Device isn't 2018 Device. And so at what point is it appropriate to cut him out? I mean, you see this problem all the time in sports. You know, think Cristiano Ronaldo at Man United, you know, the second time around, or, you know, Tom Brady towards the end of his time with the Patriots, or maybe a better analogue might be, you know, Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career. You know, like, at what point do we say enough is enough? We know you are good. We know that even a bad version of you is above average, but we can't be getting away with above average right now. We need good, or even better than good, very good, or excellent, or elite. We need all of those things. And unfortunately, I don't think Device has it in him anymore at the age of 28 to be the peak version of himself. He hasn't turned 30 yet, guys. Don't do that to me. Don't sigh up me. Don't do it. He can't have turned 30. There's no way. Yeah, he's 30. Fuck me. I'm old. I'm old. How is someone born in 1995 30 years old? Well, there you go. I mean, it underlines the point more, doesn't it, right? Like, a 30-year-old Device definitely can't be, you know, 2018 Device. But put it this way, a comparison. 100 Thieves roster to the Astralis roster, I'd much rather have 100 Thieves. I'm being real with you. And yet, all I've seen in terms of critique from, you know, the pundits is, oh, this is a terrible experiment, this is going to flop. And I'm like, you've got Sean Gares, you've got Messioso, you've got Rain, you've got Device. Like, these are some of the fine... You've got Glaive, you know, as a coach. These are, like, some of the fucking finest minds to ever touch Counter-Strike. And they're all working together in one direction. So, for me... I would much rather have the 100 Thieves roster, which isn't to say, by the way, that this couldn't be a scouting masterclass. We might be talking halfway through 2026 about how amazing Ryu is or how resplendent Fozzy's been on the server. But ultimately, I do feel Astralis are getting themselves into some murky, murky waters. And ultimately, I hope that they're not resistant to more changes if necessary. It might be I think there may be still a piece or two away from being like anything other than kind of a glorified gamer legion. So we will see. But there you go. Those are my thoughts on the Astralis, the Astralis changes. And ultimately, they are dead as we know them. They're no longer a Danish organization, for all that Jonas was talking about that. And they're no longer a kind of like legacy organization. They're entering the same territory NIP are, where essentially your reputation doesn't count for shit anymore. You're this new thing, and you need to go and stand upright on your own two feet based on what you're doing in the here and now. And so it's going to be interesting to see. And... a lot of pressure on Stairs' shoulders. He is now the man. He is the star of that team. So, we'll see.